You've been searching for the best way to generate passive income in your life and heard that real estate is a great way to do it. But you're tired of all the so-called gurus who are all talk and no substance. Get ready to celebrate because Kevin Bupp has spent 14 years successfully making it happen. This is the Real Estate Investing for Cash Flow podcast. Now, here's Kevin Bupp.
Hey guys, Kevin Bupp here. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Real Estate Investing for Cash Flow podcast. Our mission is to help you build and maintain massive amounts of cash flow through income-producing real estate investments. Now, our guest for this week's show is real estate investment and construction expert, Ira Singer. Ira has been a principal of Mosaic Construction since 2005 and currently leads new business development, estimating, construction production, project management, and the management of trade partner and vendor relationships for Mosaic Construction. So guys, now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest for today's show, Ira Singer. Ira, how are you doing today, my friend?
Kevin, doing great. Thank you. Appreciate time on the phone and the introduction. So looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having you here. And you bring a breadth of knowledge and experience in the construction trade to this call, which is, your expertise is one that we haven't necessarily had on the show before. And it's interesting because we're going to take it from a little bit of a different angle today. You know, we interview many different investors that specialize in different types of asset types. You know, we've had, probably 100 multifamily guys on the show over the years. We've had retail guys, office guys, student housing guys, senior housing guys on the show, and gals. I shouldn't just say guys, but guys and gals that are in the investment side of the space. Well, those folks are basically your clients. They hire your team, your construction firm, which is on a national scale, to help them with their projects, whether it be large scale renovation projects, new builds, and probably everything in between. And so really excited to take it from this perspective and dive into your business and what it is you guys do over there at Mosaic. But before we do, Ira, maybe if you could take a few minutes. I gave you a very brief introduction. Your background's much more extensive than that. And so take a few minutes and tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and really how you got started in this business.
I'd be happy to. So all of those different asset class owners are potential clients for Mosaic Construction. We've had a breadth of experience that didn't start that way. I was in the window business straight out of school in 1990. And in 93, I started my first window siding roofing company that was catering to homeowners, was successful at that, had a partner in that, and learned trade by residential work, going in and picking up clients one at a time. That led to some business introductions of real estate owners. And, a couple of years into business, we were working on multifamily construction, doing window replacements on a large scale basis, 300, 500, 600 windows, either vinyl or aluminum. That, of course, continued into interior renovation work because while we're there, a trusted contractor, which is an important component of an investment in real estate, to have a trusted GC, they ask the question, they're happy with our window work. So we got started on doing all kinds of different makeovers and all kinds of different multifamily projects, whether it was senior housing and it was in units, or whether it was market rate apartments and it was amenity spaces or common area spaces. The senior housing market is all about safety and accessibility. There's all kinds of different value adds and different projects that we've been involved in. When you say yes to the universe in terms of, sure, we can do that. Sure, we can, help you with that. My partner, Andy, is a design specialist. He's an architect by degree. And as we became partners 15 years after I started my first company, we've decided that design build is really the best way to work through the construction process. If we have, that kind of a relationship with the client, so we can bring design and construction pre-budgeting through the project, understand the scope of work, and be a construction partner to the effort. It's one thing to do design, bid, build, where the owner, investor hires an architect and there is a project designed and there is a budget that they're hoping to land on. And then it goes through the bid process to, 3 to 5 GCs, and the numbers are all over the board because, there are things that my trades we'll see on site at the walkthrough of an existing project that the architect may not have figured, that we provide, an RFI on, and all of a sudden my intellectual property and knowledge goes out to the general masses to say, here are some other things that we figured out, and the numbers blow the budget. So we prefer the design build methodology. It helps the client, it helps the management team, it helps everybody streamline the construction process, which is how it all comes together, you know, for Mosaic Construction. That's really what we're after, is the pieces of the puzzle. You know, we'll call them the beautiful stones of a mosaic landscape, where individually the plumbing, the heating, the flooring, you know, all those stuff looks great. But when you bring it together and you deliver a project that is the vision of the investor, the vision of the owner or management company, you really have made a real improvement in the project, the value of the project, the homeowner or resident experience. So that's what we're about.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate giving that background. And I guess the one question that pops up that I'd like to get out there real quick is that when would it make more sense, or what would encourage an investor to go with a architectural firm separately from a, you know, design build firm like you guys offer, right? I mean, to go with an architect and then bring it, you know, put it out for bid to the marketplace, which becomes a very, it can become a very messy process. I mean, when would someone maybe see the advantage of doing it that way versus just coming to you guys and kind of getting the one-stop shop?
So we have clients working with us both ways, design build, where they are talking to us and we're bringing the design, and they see that as a requirement of a large scale improvement project. It's going to impact, you know, their property. They're not going to clear out their property. The residents are going to be living there. And whether it's window replacements and we're in and out of a unit in a day, or it's units and we're in there for longer, the design and the selection of finishes is why an owner, you know, goes to an architect first to say, okay, forgetting even new construction, where clearly there has to be an architect and engineering in the position to, you know, design it out of the ground. I'm talking about existing structures where there's got to be a refresh. There's got to be, you know, there's a code compliance issue. There's a life safety issue, and there's upgrades that have to happen. You know, the feeling with owner investors is that it's going to need a permit. I got to get an architect involved. That is, I think, just the natural progression of, you know, where we're in the bidding, you know, wars. We bid competitively as well as getting jobs that are custom for us, you know, where we have repeat clients that they use us without bidding. But it's a competitive landscape. And I think it frankly is the investor's due diligence to get multiple bids, you know, even though I don't want to bid against a lot of other GCs. And hopefully the relationship I have with the client is what tilted in my favor, assuming I've got scope covered, pricing covered, management covered, et cetera. If the design piece, the key piece, it's one thing to go in and say, we're going to replace all the windows. We don't need an architect involved in that. We might have an engineer that's going to spec out the product and the installation methodology, because there's an ongoing leak at the window openings and, you know, 10% of the openings. So they know that they have to extract the old, and an engineer might be involved. But when you're talking about unit makeovers or lobby makeovers or fitness center adds or accessibility changes, you need an architect. There's going to be a permit. There's going to be inspections from the municipality. We're going to handle that. You know, that's part of our oversight. And if we come in early enough, we can help drive the budget for reality based on what their vision is of the project. So we've done enough units to know that an affordable housing might put $15,000, $18,000 into a unit to make it, you know, tax credit worthy, passing for the monies that they're borrowing, where a market rate unit could be $35,000, $40,000 because they're putting in, you know, really nice finishes and they have to get the rent bump. So they've got to spend that kind of money.
Got it. Okay. Appreciate that. I'd love to talk about your expansion from when you kind of joined the organization. Doesn't sound like it was a national firm at that point in time, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong there. You know, what I'm gathering from this is that it was a, you know, folks would reach out, hey, can you guys do this? We're in this location. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Saying yes to a lot of different projects really kind of forced you guys to expand your reach, not in just only different asset types, but also different markets, I mean, pretty quickly. So you guys have grown into a national firm very, very quickly. And I would love to maybe learn about some of the challenges that were associated with going from a more localized or a regional base to a national level.
So it's an interesting story. There's a client that hired us for three specific projects in the Chicagoland market and was taking down a property 4 hours away, almost in Missouri. And, you know, we said yes, because we were his trusted contractor, and we went to almost, you know, Missouri to do the project, hiring mostly local trades from the Southwest Illinois, you know, corridor. And we use a technology, you know, a software search platform that vets trades for us. We have the Mosaic way, if you will. Our trade partners are extremely important to us, the relationships we have. And so we source them locally. Some of our trades from the Chicago market travel to the project, but that taught us that we could go out and manage our process with trades that had a clear understanding of their scope. And we had an on-site, you know, manager to run the project. And we were down there a couple times a week, seeing it happen. And then, you know, it wasn't trial and error. It was try, succeed. And then the client went to another state and bought something. And then the client went to another state and bought something. And as a result, you know, we started going to Pennsylvania and Maryland. We were always adjacent to Illinois over the last, you know, 15 years doing either multifamily or custom residential or some boutique commercial in Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, and as far west as Iowa, which are the adjacent states to Illinois. Beyond that, you know, you can't use your guys. You got to source local trades. And it's been exciting because the, you know, the municipalities we're working in, we're bringing business into their area. We get licensed. We manage construction. That's what we do. You know, we are driven by Mosaic actions, whether it's a small window project in a single family home or a commercial project. You know, we want to anticipate needs, and we build relationships to start. And we have a way. The Mosaic way is, you know, open communication, transparency, close the loop on open items at the end with punch lists. And when you're doing that in construction and you have clients that understand the value of that, so they don't have to babysit the GC and babysit the project. They can focus on their investments. They can focus on their next deal. You know, there's a tremendous amount of value in us being able to travel and expand our boundaries beyond the state.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. I'd like to discuss a little bit about finding the right clients. You know, now we've been talking about from the angle of, you know, your clients, you know, seeking your services and hiring you as a construction firm, but there's a flip side of that as well. Just like how, you know, owning an apartment complex, like we're seeking, you know, to find the right residents that right. fit there, that fit in well, right? That are going to pay the rent on time. They're going to be good law-abiding and rule-following residents. Well, let's talk about that from growing into a large national firm, you know, being selective with finding the right clients that ultimately fit your mold, that understand your core philosophy and how you run your company, and that are a good fit for a working relationship. Do you guys kind of have a particular approach that you take in finding those right clients to work with?
So we're a relationship-based company. We do a lot of charity work, which has us serving on boards, and really the character of the people. You know, we're doing quite a bit. I mean, you found Mosaic Construction through, you know, press release. We're expanding our reach, and we're certainly having new relationships develop, which is exciting because we've got a good story and we have a proven concept that allows us to be a trusted construction partner for somebody seeking. But we're going to vet, you know, the way, you know, you would in terms of your screening for your residents, who you're bringing into your deal from an investment point of view. You have certain metrics, you know, that you're measuring. I'm one of three partners. Our expansion into multi-state is, you know, when we tell people in the Chicago market that we're working in Maryland and they thought we were a local company, the generosity of people is to say, oh, you know, I have a brother that's in real estate in Maryland. I didn't know that you expanded. And so communicating our story and setting up, you know, success partners and attending conference stuff. So we're, you know, we go to multifamily conferences. We're members of the local Chicago Apartment Association. You know, we're visible in the community. We've built a good name. And I think that good people are interested in working with trusted partners, someone they like, you know, they get to know us and they bring us along. I don't know that there's a secret sauce recipe there, except that Andy, Mike, and I are really good at building relationships and working in the community and having an impeccable reputation. That really helps.
You just shared that secret sauce. It's there. it's the ability to build great relationships and your role within the community. So you did share that secret sauce. That is real. That's there. That's part of your system and process. Let's talk about, you know, some of the different, you know, asset types and niches that you guys are in today. I mean, where do you say you're spending your most time? Is it in the multifamily space? I mean, being that you can go into any market across the country right now, and maybe that applies also to student housing and senior housing, because you could probably go into pretty much any major or secondary market and find a, if not one, multiple projects going up in any one of these different asset types. But is there a place where you're spending majority of your time today?
So I would say that between the multifamily category, which really we break down into market, affordable, senior, and students, typically multiples of the same. So all the corridors becomes a 20 corridor project. That is, you know, not, they're not going to do one, they're going to do the building. And so, you know, the type of work that we're doing in the student housing community and the multifamily community at large, as well as commercial projects, office buildouts, vanilla box spaces, retail makeovers on facades. So, you know, the shopping center, it's old and tired. It's going to get a, you know, a brand new facelift with literally an architect and structure being, you know, put on top of the roof line and, you know, a drive-it finish with nice signage, nice monument signage, you know, parking lot stuff in a retail. There's no end to what owners and investors will spend, because the trend is, at least in the, I would say even more in the mid-major market. So I'm in the sub-market of Milwaukee. I live just over the state line in Wisconsin, and the I-94 corridor going from Illinois up to Madison is on fire. There is development work because of, you know, major industry that's come to the area. There is rehab of existing stock. You could buy something that's a single family home, fix it up and hold it for rent and call yourself a multifamily owner, because you have 15 of them in Racine or in Kenosha, and you would be successful. And those are, it doesn't matter the asset class. Yeah. The reality is that real estate ownership and long-term hold for a multifamily or a retail space or a commercial office, they're buying to invest and hold it. They're typically not holding it and buying it as is with doing nothing. There's a full-scale needs assessment done on that investment before they buy it. They do their due diligence. They know the roof is compromised. They know the lighting isn't up to code. They know the life safety stuff needs to be changed, ADA accessibility items. And all of a sudden, you know, they're buying a multi-million dollar asset, and they immediately have a $500,000 spend just to get the building where they can start bringing in, you know, renters. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, I could go on and on about specific types of projects where we've made a community accessible because it was tax credit financing coming in. And one of the initiatives of the money, one of the directives was, you know, we have to have 10% of the community fully accessible. And so that's work. That's not just swapping out counters and cabinets and flooring and a paint job. That's, you know, widening doorways. That's doing different cabinetry. That's paying attention to, you know, all the grab bars and plumbing and electric codes for light switch locations. And they really have to have a smart construction partner to understand that, so it's done the right way and, you know, expectations are met, inspections are passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fantastic. I appreciate that. How did Mosaic fare during 2007 through 2009? Were you guys a national firm at that point in time?
We were not. The recent national reach is due to the medical cannabis work, which is, you know, what has allowed us to spread our wings over the last 4 years as Illinois became a licensed state. But, you know, that's not specific to what we're talking about. It's just when you look at, you know, the national reach from 2000 to 2009, so much was going on as we were growing and merging what was my prior window siding roofing company doing some multifamily work with my partner, the designer, who's the architect, you know, who does custom design build and a lot of boutique commercial. And as we were figuring that out, thankfully, we had decent sized contracts that came into the company. Me on a multifamily secure project in the Indiana market, my partner selling a custom residential job that was over $1 million for a whole house makeover. You know, jobs like that sustained us as a smaller company during the downturn, and we leveraged our relationships. We made sure that we focused on the short term because there really was no long-term play. It was a scary time. Many of our compatriots in construction that weren't running successful businesses got caught in the, you know, collateralized, exposed state, and they disappeared. And we didn't have a phoenix rising. We've done some really good things. We've always been flexible. We've always been relationship-based. We've always relied on transparency and integrity, and contractors don't have the greatest of reputations. So when you find people that care about the asset, that treat it as if, you know, I owned it, when my trades are on site, when there's a schedule to keep, when there are needs that we have to pay attention to because it's a fully lived-in space and we're guests in the property. All those things translate to long-term success because, you know, we're relationship guys at the beginning. We want to see everything come together at the end, exceeding our expectations of our clients. So I won't say it wasn't hard. I think we had some good luck with some hard work mixed in. And coming out of 2009, we've really been on an upward trajectory for our business in expanding our asset classes. We weren't doing a ton of office at the time in 2009-10. But you start saying yes to doing one, and then they liked what you did, so they hire you on another asset they own, and you're doing a third one, then a sixth, and all of a sudden you've got a cachet of a project portfolio that everyone's impressed with. It just looks really nice. It's a good story because we've worked hard. We've trusted, you know, our partnership. We've got some very key team mates on our inside staff, the people we do employ that work hard in the project management and production coordination to make sure that what goes on behind the curtain is, you know, some of the chaos of construction, but what's going on in front on the stage at the production of the renovation project, that our clients are in the loop, that they are informed, that they are being, you know, given as much information daily. Daily updates are part of what we do. Daily logs are part of what we do. Forecasting, our schedule 3 weeks out are things that we do. Smart management practices that are, again, you know, as part of the mosaic actions, if you will.
Hey guys, Kevin Bupp here with Sunrise Capital Investors. As you are hopefully already well aware, if you've been a listener for any period of time, my goal has always been to provide you with as much value as I possibly can through my two podcasts, Real Estate Investing for Cashflow and the Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. As our audience continues to grow, literally, we've been downloaded millions of times by folks in over 125 countries. I've had thousands of people reach out looking to get involved in our niche. And that's the phenomenal niche of mobile home park investing. For those that don't know, I've been a full-time real estate investor for nearly 20 years now, and I've personally invested in and have owned apartment complexes, various commercial properties, hundreds of single-family rentals, and I've interviewed some of the most successful investors in just about every other asset class, and I've arrived at this one very simple conclusion. Mobile home parks are hands down the best investment I've found to date. Why? They provide investors with the best risk-adjusted returns out of any other real estate sector that I've seen. Investing in real estate can get complicated, and I really want to simplify this process for you. If you're someone who wants to diversify away from the uncertainty of Wall Street and allocate a percentage of your real estate portfolio to mobile home parks, but maybe don't have the time nor the inclination to personally locate good deals yourself, then our team will do it for you. At Sunrise Capital Investors, our team specializes in the acquisitions and management of undervalued and highly profitable mobile home parks. And we are now providing accredited investors with an opportunity to participate directly alongside our team in our up-and-coming deals. And let me say this, I believe that we are hands down the best in our space at sourcing highly profitable off-market deals. That's really what makes us unique in this niche and as investment managers. As stewards of your capital, we truly are aligned with our investors. We've structured our investment fund so that we as a company are incentivized in the same way the investor is, which is through the performance of the investment itself. In addition, we want to make sure that we not only make money for our investors, but that they understand how it's being made. That's why we provide our accredited partners with a private monthly podcast that walks them through the detailed updates on how their investment is performing. And we're very transparent, providing you with the good, the bad, and the ugly at times. And so if you'd like to learn more about the partnership opportunities with our team here at Sunrise, please go visit sunrisecapitalinvestors.com and click on the investors link to get signed up. It's absolutely free and you'll get placed on the priority list of when new opportunities come along. Also, feel free to call us at 833-CASHFLOW without the O. Again, that's 833-CASHFLOW without the O. And one of our investor relations team members will help you schedule an appointment to speak with one of our managing principals. If you have questions, go ahead and schedule a call and let's get on the phone and talk. And with that, guys, I'd like to leave with one last thought. From the time that I wake up in the morning to the time that I lay my head down the rest of the evening, my number one priority with everything I do, whether it be recording this podcast, working for our investors, helping each of you reach your investment goals, to providing a great experience to each of our residents who reside in our communities, is to add huge amounts of value to everyone that I come in contact with. Now, with that being said, I look forward to the opportunity of bringing value to you through Sunrise and through this podcast. Thank you for your time. Now, let's go ahead and get back to the show.
Yeah, so, you know, you and your two partners, it sounds like you really treat things like they're your own, right? I mean, these projects that you treat as though your client's money is your own money that you're spending on that project. So you really take that personalized approach to it. How do you go about finding staff that really follows that same core philosophy as you and your two other partners?
That's a very transparent conversation during onboarding. I mean, you know, when we're interviewing, we are in a growth mode. You know, we've got new team members coming on currently next week. We're double the size we were about a year and a half ago. And so we have a culture. We work hard with our outside consultants. We have a strategy consultant for our 3 to 5 year growth. We have a branding and a sales and marketing consultant that work with us to, you know, make sure that we're having a healthy culture, that our team understands what we're out there, you know, trying to accomplish every day. It's kind of all hands in the middle. There's a tremendous amount of trust. We're like a small family business, but our revenue and our scalability and our size, you know, doesn't, you think of a, you know, a quote unquote mom and pop, you know, privately owned business that's doing, you know, $10 million. And, you know, they've got five people in it. At this point, you know, we're a team of nine. We're going to be 11 in the next month or so. And we have been very fortunate to get the buy-in. We incentivize, you know, it's a tight job market out there. So we want to make sure that we, you know, we take care of our team. We meet often. You know, we'd like to think that people are happy working for Mosaic Construction because of the effort that we put into our projects, because of the success we've had on our projects, the trust that we have, the reliance that we have. It's a good story.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Do you develop for a personal ownership basis in any of these properties, or is this strictly hired services that you guys are offering?
We are hired services. We are not developers. We don't compete with any of our owner investors. We have been approached to, you know, put our construction in as part of the deal. And we've looked at a couple of those because those are, you know, expansion opportunities, but the right deal hasn't come in front of us. Mm-hmm. So to date, we are contract for hire, you know, construction partners, construction managers. You know, one of the things that I think separates us is there's so much about like hidden fees in construction. We are typically working off of a sworn statement, a stipulated sum contract. Our fees are transparent for our overhead, our profit, our management, general conditions, of course, for cleaning and dumpsters and whatever. But, you know, those are line items in the transparent bid to say that the plumbing is this much, the HVAC is this much, the flooring is that much. And those are the trade costs that we're buying it at. We have no incentive to say, okay, it's going to be this much money for cost. Let's throw 32% on it and hope the client buys it. That's not how we formulate construction. Mm-hmm. We do it based on our time and our investment to manage that project and steward it. And, you know, that puts us in the driver's seat of making sure it happens on our projected time frame, because we're figuring our time. And if it goes on for 2 months longer, not only is the client unhappy because we blew the delivery date, but we're managing it for 2 months longer. And we're not going back to the client and saying, hey, we've got two more months on this thing. Ultimately, you know, we are really exact in trying to figure out our fees, because like they buy the plumbing, they buy Mosaic for its professional relationship to manage it and take care of, you know, all the miscellaneous stuff. So that's not typical in our business, to be transparent. There's a lot of, you know, hidden costs, if you will, and it just makes it easier to, they know they're getting the best opportunity to work transparently on a stipulated sum the way we approach contract mm-hmm. work.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And I'd like to ask you a question. I'm going to change gears a little bit here and, you know, really go back to the time when you were just merging your window company with Mosaic and starting what is now known today as a, you know, national construction company with a, you know, a great successful track record. You know, knowing what you know today, going through all the growth over these last, I guess, how many years has it been? Is it 10 years?
I'm 28 years in business and 15 with my current partner.
15. Okay. So going back to 15 years, if you could give yourself some advice back when you were first getting with your current partners and starting what is now known as Mosaic, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, I think the thing that has really improved in our company is the processes and the forms and the agreements that things are done this way, so we can search the server and find what we want. And when we were bringing two different companies together with two different styles of filing and culture, I think that was probably the biggest thing. Andy and I had known each other since college, you know, 20 years prior to that, before we became partners. And so we knew each other, but we were not the same. And so we've taken a good look at how we started, and we're far away from that business model when we first got together trying to figure things out. Certainly an inside organizational process for how a job gets sold and how a job gets put from handed off from sales to production, and what are the steps in pre-construction, and how do we manage a project. And so our project managers and our production coordinators are understanding of this, which allows for us to all speak the same vocabulary and be able to, you know, I'm going to go on vacation next week and someone's going to step into the projects that are under Mosaic Construction. And because there are processes in place, that is going to be a fairly seamless handoff to another project manager at Mosaic versus, you know, 15 years ago when we were figuring that stuff out. We really didn't understand what we needed to do to create a value proposition in the world of construction, and we've figured that out.
Got it. Okay. You shared a lot of great gold nuggets with us here today, Ira. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here. But if you had, I hope you got one left up your sleeve that you could share with us. And so if you do have one in a sleeve in your pocket that you're hiding, you know, a gold nugget of advice or wisdom that they could leave with our listeners that may inspire and motivate them as they progress in their real estate investing career, what might that one last gold nugget be?
Well, you know, the gold nugget is, if you're an investor and you're looking for to make the asset worth what you're buying, you know, whether you're buying it under market or you're buying it before it's on the market, you still have a plan for your strategy, whether it's a, you know, a flip, whether it's a long-term hold. So the construction partner in the deal is really, I won't say it's underrated, because we know the value that we bring to a project. But I think that owner investors think that they can just hire any contractor, and as select as they are in their due diligence of going through their sifting of all the properties they look at and finally deciding to pull the trigger and go hard on one and take it down and make it through, you know, their vision, a construction partner is key. And I don't think there is, you know, a tremendous amount of decision making, bringing that person on early in the process where we pre-walk the final two or three assets that are being considered, so we can, you know, help with the due diligence process and create real numbers for various components of construction. You know, I think that is something that a good construction partner will do. The reality of triage in construction is something that we've heard all the war stories. You've owned real estate, you've got war stories. We want to be in the driver's seat when the project leaves the gate, because we feel that we have a really good opportunity to even out some of the highs and lows that go along with construction, especially over a long-term project where you're at the asset remodeling it for 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. It can really go on. And, you know, being able to close the loop and anticipate the needs of the project when it's that large scale, you know, those are key things where, I should ask you, Kevin, as an owner investor, when you hire contractors, is it your preference to babysit them and watch the project get done? Or are you better off, you know, doing the things that you do that create balance and create value in your business life? And if you could, you know, wave your magic wand and find a good contractor, would that help you?
Oh my God, you surely know the answer to this question that you're asking me. Yeah, it's surely the biggest pain point that we, you know, even today that we experience in our own company. You know, as we're in many different markets, many different states, it's really hard to, you know, to go to a new market and, you know, reestablish a new relationship and get that off the ground and find someone that we truly can just wave that magic wand and know that the project's going to get done correctly and we don't have to babysit it. I can't tell you that we've mastered that to date. So, yes.
That's hard. Yeah. I mean, we've got 750 units that we've remodeled, you know, in a lot of, you know, residential and commercial square footage and roofs and, you know, over 20,000 windows that we've put in. And there's a certain peace of mind that comes with, you know, you buy a multifamily, you think you have to find the multifamily contractor. You buy a commercial office building, you think you have to find a commercial office remodeling specialist. You know, we're fortunate that we have existed in all of these different asset classes. So for us, it's about construction management. It's about process. It's about having the right trade teams in place and understanding the scope and a good set of plans to build off of. So we can do the quarterbacking, the producing and the directing, if you will, of the production, while the trades and the designers who are providing the pretty stuff and the necessary stuff, they're like the stars of the show. One thing that I'm proud of, we have a CAPS designation in our office, a Certified Aging in Place Specialist. And so when you're a CAPS specialist, that means you've gone through a course load that allows you to understand the aging in place market, both in the multifamily and the single family space. And there are specific needs for certain, you know, certain maladies. So if you have macular degeneration, if you have bad joints, if you are, you know, living in a wheelchair, there are, you know, doorways that need to be wide. There are sinks that need to be safe. There are grab bars that need to be in place. We understand through the CAPS course and our experience of construction what that means. And yes, an architect should understand the ADA code, even the Universal Design Code, which is even a deeper dive into ADA. It's a way to make the building feel like it belongs to everybody, even though you've made special accommodations for a certain population. Mm-hmm. So knowing that and being able to bring that knowledge to what they're doing in a senior housing community, I'm sure that the owner should know this, but knowing that the construction guy can ask the question, have you thought about this? It's just, there's a value to the experience of not being in one lane of, you know, we're in the multifamily space only, senior housing, that's all we do. Well, no, we're in all kinds of different asset renovations. Mm-hmm. And so the general knowledge seems to help with some cross-pollination when you're looking at the various types of projects that we've been involved in.
Well, it sounds like I need to get you guys involved in the manufactured housing community space. so we can have the trusted partner that we can rely on across the country and all the communities that we purchase.
Yeah. Although, you know, I would love to talk to you about that.
Yeah. But, Ira, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you coming to the show. This has been a lot of fun, lots of great information, lots of insights, and just, you know, kudos to you for all the success that you guys have had over the years and growing from a, you know, a small localized company to a national, you know, firm and really becoming experts in all these different niches. And, you know, one thing that you just touched on briefly, which we're not going to have time to chat about here today, is the, you know, you guys are now stepping into the cannabis trade, you know, building, you know, cannabis specific properties. And that's a topic in and of itself. And so, but you guys are becoming the, you know, you basically are gaining the expertise and becoming the masters in each one of these individual niches and not really, you know, creating that silo effect, which a lot of construction companies do, right? They become the experts at one thing because they feel like, you know, they don't want to divert their focus and lose focus by going and becoming the multifamily guy, the office guy. But you guys have seemingly mastered that process of becoming great at a little bit of everything. So that's wonderful. That's really hard to do. So that's quite
Thank
impressive.
You. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's been intentional. So it's not by accident. You know, by saying yes to people who come to us and they have different types of assets and there's trust there and they have a need and we can fill it. That's true. That's how the cannabis, you know, space started. He was a retail and office client of ours and was awarded licenses in Illinois and ultimately has built his enterprise. I think we're between design work, which is design build. So on the front end of construction or in pre-production or in production or completed, I think we're on our 26th or 27th cannabis project from dispensary to cultivation to processing. Been an exciting ride. That's a conversation for another show, but I would love to, you know, have my partner Andy, you know, speak with you about the last 4 years of, you know, a rocket ship trajectory in the medical cannabis world.
Yeah, I would love that. I think we're being connected by someone there at your company. So looking forward to having that conversation with your associate about the cannabis industry. And we're just about out of time now, Ira. But again, really appreciate you coming to the show. And folks, if you want to learn more about Ira and his company, Mosaic Construction, you can go visit them at mosaicconstruction.net. I'll be sure to put that into the show notes as well. And Ira, that's all we have, my friend. Again, really appreciate you coming to the show. It's been a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and I think we added a lot of value to the listeners as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Kevin, thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed the experience. And yes, great questions. And, you know, your resume speaks for itself. And I'm all about the relationship. So being able to talk about it is great. But, you know, for me, it doesn't end with that. I want to continue to, you know, build on the opportunity. So I look forward to our paths crossing and enjoyed this very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ira.